Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, as always, we give you an invite to join us for worship, where we preach the Word of God in season, out of season, preaching the gospel, not a list of to-dos, the gospel, which will drive us in our doing. So let's open up that gospel today and study John chapter 14. John chapter 14, where Jesus is calling his disciples to not be troubled. And the beauty of what we've studied this week is that Jesus is shouldering and carrying the sorrows, the sicknesses, the troubles that come upon us. He is carrying that burden for the Christian. That's what was promised about the Messiah in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. So this is the perspective that we're giving. This is given here. This is what Christians have. I can't imagine to go through life, looking at life, imagining having no prospect but the worst of outcomes, no hope beyond it, no explanation, no understanding. All that I know is that I'm going to die. And then what? The Christian has all these answers given to him. The Lord has made it clear by his Spirit what is going to happen. And for the Christian, he gives strength through these things. Oh, we're not as the faith healers declaring here that we can avoid sickness or sorrow or trial. I think that message is so gone today. Whoever's holding that, it's a tragedy. It's just not reality. There's a difference, though, in what Christ does for the Christian through these sorrows that he's called to go through. Count it all joy. Why? Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. There's a greater purpose, which has a greater end in goal. And that's the perspective here. Christ is calling us, he's calling the disciples to have faith in him, to trust him. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, this is really some of the most tender and comforting words spoken by our Christ. In the middle of their distress, he's calming them. He's assuring them. He's removing from their hearts the state of confusion that has come upon them. How so? By saying that even though they don't understand the full implications of what's happening, they must trust him. A greater end is in view. Maybe you're at this place today. The sorrows of this life, the tragedies of this life have thrown you into a state of panic. And the Lord here is declaring, the Lord here is telling us that he has shouldered that for us so that we don't have to despair. What does he do to alleviate and remove that despair? Well, in John chapter 14, as his disciples are intensely troubled over the circumstances, you can study this in chapter 13, he assures them of the goal of everything. That even though they can't see through the very real sorrow that they're immediately faced with, Jesus has said, I am going, and where I am going, you cannot come. Why not? Because he's going to the cross, and Jesus must face that alone for us. In other words, for your sorrow to be turned to joy, I have to walk up Golgotha and die for you. And then when I'm exalted, there will be a place prepared for you. Jesus is saying, without my death, my work, there's no place for you in heaven. So do you see what he said? I'm taking this all on for you, dear Christian. This is a very strong source of consolation to us, when the day at hand is full of sorrow and trouble, discouragement takes us backwards. So what does Jesus do here? He's encouraging them that the sorrows of this present age are not forever. They seem to be long, but they really are short-lived. And he says, there's a place being prepared for you. He comforts them that there is more than enough room in the house for them, that he's coming again, and that he will bring them there. He will bring the Christian there. There's a time coming when we will dwell in God's house eternally with no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears. The things that you're struggling with now, says Jesus, are short-lived. The feeling of being alone. No, in my Father's house, there's all sorts of room for you. Do you see the connection? I'm going to prepare that for you. And if I go and do that, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I really like this verse today because did you catch what he said? He doesn't say, I'm coming to bring you there. He said, I'm coming to bring you to myself. Now, this is the reason Jesus says, keep on believing. And that's interesting in the Greek here. You believe in God, believe in me. Keep on believing in me, which presupposes that there will be times and circumstances just like that, when like the disciples are in which it will be hard to believe. It's not always that there's even an answer to your sorrow and affliction in the present, but it's how Jesus calms them that is of real interest to me. He gives them the glimpse into the future. And how does he do that? He says, when I come, I'm going to bring you to me. In other words, he's going to bring them face to face with him. Do you see the encouragement here? He's leaving them. They don't get to see Jesus. Right now, we don't get to see Jesus. There is a time coming when we will never be absent from him as Christians. Do you know this is the great reward spoken of in the Bible? Oh yes, the Bible teaches rewards. This is the hope that we have. This is the reward. 1 Thessalonians, Paul comforted those who were being attacked by false teaching that the second coming had already occurred. And he says, no. When the Lord comes, he's going to bring with him, going to bring with the souls of those who've died in the Lord, those who are sleeping. Then their bodies will be raised. And we who are alive and remain shall also be changed. And we will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And then he said this, and we shall always be with the Lord. That's the comfort. Comfort one another, he said, with these words. John, in the little epistle of 1 John, described what he could. Thought of it so overwhelmed him, he said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The old theologians called this the beatific vision. We get to see the risen Christ. Psalms would talk about it. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Everything in the scriptures is pushing us to this final state when all this is done. When finally in glory, having put away completely that which is passing away, we get the privilege to fix our eyes on the risen Christ in all of his beauty. Listen, I want to close today with an application to this, and we'll return to it tomorrow. The early Christians lived for this. They were in such persecution for their faith and suffering for the cause of the gospel. They looked and they longed for something better. Abraham looked and longed for another city whose builder and maker is God. The longing for, as the apostles said, that this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. And only then is death swallowed up in victory. I'll be honest today, most Christians have no idea what it is to long for this and where true comfort lies or even what it is. Our prayer lives tell it, don't they? Be honest. How often do we pray this petition in our prayers? Lord Jesus, come quickly. Have you ever said it? Now, that's a petition given under inspiration from God. Why is that so rarely heard? When you have a persecuted people and a people who are accustomed to suffer for their faith, the longing for what Jesus here describes in John 14 is reflected in their prayers. They're heavenly oriented. Come quickly, you who have defeated death. Bring to its final end in the resurrection. Bring to an end the suffering and persecution your church faces. Usher forth the new heavens and the new earth. When you have a people very comfortable with the present evil age, is this really characteristic of our cry? No. We're more worried about having the best comfort in our mattresses for sleeping, the best seat warmers for our backsides in our cars, the best medicines to make us feel good and take our pills, anything that brings the maximal amount of pleasure. Those things aren't wrong in and of themselves. But there is the danger of confusing the comforts that are pure hedonism and narcissism with the lasting comfort that Christ is here describing. And our prayers reflect it. Our prayers are usually just lists of everyone who's sick that they would feel better. That is a strange thing to me, because we're all dying. Oh, sure, we can pray for people to get well, and we should. But we never lose sight of the fact that the outward man is perishing. Faith healers miss this. What good is it to heal an eye if tomorrow the whole body dies? The resurrection to come is where our hope is. Glory now is a denial of glory in the future. We're missing the bigger picture. We're missing that as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. I wonder today, does John 14 excite us? The reason it may not, and if it doesn't, it's because if we're honest, we're often, dear listener, too comfortable here. Don't confuse the earthly comforts of this age with the lasting comfort that is set out before us here. The comfort that Jesus is offering is the comfort against the problem of our sin. We don't even talk about sin much anymore. This is what is to be avoided for some reason in the church. And yet, why do we need a gospel if we're not talking about sin? Why do we need a savior if we're already okay? This is the problem. The problem of death reigning in us because of sin. Jesus here is comforting. I'm going to come back to this tomorrow. Jesus here is comforting against the backdrop of some real discouragement, real sorrow, real feeling of emptiness and pain because of death. And Jesus here is giving consoling words that he has taken this upon himself for the Christian. So the call today is, come to the way. Believe in the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no salvation outside of him. There's no comfort outside of him. All there is, as Hebrews says, a fearful expectation of judgment that will devour the adversary. Oh, I pray you're not an adversary of Jesus, but that you have come to him believing and have become an adopted child of God so that you can have this everlasting comfort. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.